I love what we were reading in Torah this week. In Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 10, it's a portion called Vayitse. It means Jacob went out. And it talks about how Jacob wanted a wife. And he had to go out of town to find a bride, because his dad and his grandfather had made a promise to the Lord that their covenant sons would marry within the family. And so Jacob goes from Beersheba, which is in the Negev, in the desert in the south of Israel, and he goes towards Haran. And Haran, I'm not exactly sure where that is. Some people say it's in Syria now. Some say it's in Turkey. And there's even a Haran, Azerbaijan. I've been to Azerbaijan. It's an interesting country. I'm not sure if that's the Haran. But there was a Haran where Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, had lived, and from which he came out. And Abraham's family, his relatives, were still living there. And so Jacob is heading in that direction to get a wife. And along the way, he stops to sleep. And I want you to follow with me in your Bibles in Genesis chapter 28. We'll start in verse 10. And while we're reading, I want you to remember something, that the experiences of the patriarchs are written down for you and for me so that we can see how God was working in their lives, so that we can understand. What is that? A jet. Oh. I thought it was something more exciting. When we see how God was working in the lives of the patriarchs, then we can see how God wants to work in our lives, because the experiences of the patriarchs are echoed in our lives. For those of you who are Jewish, it means that what happened to the Jewish faithful men of old is the kind of thing that will happen to you. And those of you who aren't Jewish, what it means is exactly the same thing. In this respect, there is absolutely no difference between Jewish people and non-Jewish people who join themselves to the God of Israel. You also will find that the history of the Jewish people becomes your history. And so we can better understand God because of the experiences that the patriarchs had. And I want you to read this with yourself in mind and your experience with God in mind. So it starts in Genesis 28:10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, and he put it at his head, and he laid down in that place to sleep. What a pillow. And then he dreamed. And it's an unusual dream, perhaps the kind of dream you can only have if you're using a stone for a pillow. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, or the Hebrew can also mean the Lord stood beside Jacob, and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you are sleeping, I will give to you and your descendants. Isn't that interesting? Abraham was told the land that you walk on. Jacob was told the land you sleep on. Now, this is great comfort for some of us who prefer to do our spiritual work asleep. Some of you right now would like to take a nap. You can. I once went to a conference, a Catch the Fire conference, where they said, you know, there's an anointing to sleep here. So a few of us who were sitting on the front just looked at each other. My problem is I snore when I sleep. And so you need really loud music during my sleeping. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants will be as the dust of the earth, and you will spread abroad. Maybe a better translation, you'll burst upon the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose early in the morning. I would too if I had a pillow of stone. He took the stone that he put at his head, he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously. And then Jacob made a vow, and he said, Lord, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone, which I've set as a pillar, will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth, a tithe to you. That's the story. This is sometimes called the dream of Jacob's ladder. And I like to think of this one line here that is so significant. Surely God is in this place, and I didn't know. And I think that that statement of Jacob's was so important because it was a statement of his humility. It was a statement of his reality. There are times when we don't know that God is somewhere. And we are struggling because we think we're all by ourselves. Jacob went through this experience so that Jewish people forever would know, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what is happening around us, it is possible for God to be with us. And sometimes, in order to experience the Lord, we have to learn how to use all of our senses. You know, every sense that we have can be used to experience God, and our capacity to dream can be used, as this passage is telling us. Our ability to dream is a way that God can communicate to us some things He can't tell us about when we're awake. There are some things you will not believe when you're awake, but when you're asleep, they'll really be true. There are times, you know this from normal dreams, right? Have you ever had a nightmare? Of course. Have you ever had kids run into your room crying because they had a nightmare? And you know, it doesn't do a bit of good to say to a little one, it's not real. You know why? Their fear, their experience is real. The Lord knows how to use every sense that you have, including your capacity to dream. He can use your capacity to dream in a lot of different ways. He can use it to help you process life events or issues. Have you ever been mulling over something and you can't find a solution? And during your nighttime sleep, during your dreaming, something comes to you and you have a sense of what to do. You can also use dreaming in order to process pizza that you eat too late at night. Some people have those kinds of dreams, and you can use your dreaming for prophetic revelation, or we can say God can use that. Now, the scripture says that Jacob saw a ladder that was set up on the earth, and its top reached up to heaven. And this is a foundational Jewish revelation. It's the revelation that earth and heaven are connected. Sometimes we think of heaven as being a future thing. And sometimes we think of this earth as being something that's just going to fade away. But this gives us a spiritual picture of reality that right now heaven and earth are connected, which can give us some hope. We may think that God can't be in our most troubling places, in our most difficult places, but in reality, He is here and there. It says that angels of God are ascending and descending. You know what that means? Going up, coming down, and that there's a continuous connection. And then in verse 13, it says, behold, the Lord stood above it. How does your translation say it? Stood above the ladder. What does yours say? Above it. Who has an alternative to that? Above and beside. You know why it says that? Because the Hebrew can mean both. And there's an argument, a running argument among Jewish sages as to which it means. But there's a good principle. When a Hebrew phrase can mean two things, then the shades of meaning need to be amplified. And we need to understand in certain conditions and in certain ways, both parts are true. So I think it's like this. I think that when Jacob was seeing the Lord, he saw him far off, and he also saw him right with him. And that is very common for how people experience God. Many times we come to the Lord seeing him only far off. And then as we actually realize that we're having a revelation of God and we pay attention to that, we realize he's not just far off, he's right here. He's nearby to me. We have something like that in the book of Exodus when Moses is standing on the mountain and the Lord, it says, descended in a cloud and then stood by Moses on the mountain. And then this very difficult to understand and interpret passage, unless you know Yeshua. It says that the Lord, standing next to Moses, called out to the Lord who was passing by in front of the mountain. Now, what does that mean? It means that the Lord can be somewhere very specific. He can be right with you, but he can also be other places at the same time. You can't. You cannot be two places at once. There's an old Jewish proverb. It says, you cannot dance at two weddings with one tuchus. And this is high theology. Where you are is where you are. But that's not the case with God. The revelation which we, the Jewish people, received about God is this. God can be somewhere here on this earth. He can be physically present, but that doesn't limit his presence anywhere else. He can be present on the earth at the same time he's present in heaven. He can be present with Abraham and still present all over the world. He can be in the pillar of fire in the cloud. He can be in the Holy of Holies. He can be in the tabernacle. He can be in the temple. He can at the same time be in the heavenly realm. He can be inside of your heart, and he can be inside of the heart of the person who you are angry with and you're at odds with. He can be in your comfortable group or your clique, and he can be with a group of people that just don't like you. He's not limited. He can be all those places. So Jacob has this revelation of God where the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. It's a direct revelation. It's God revealing himself to Jacob. And this brings deliverance, I think, to Jacob. Because now he is not limited to say, I inherited my religion. He doesn't say, I heard about God from somebody. Or I happen to be raised in a nice Jewish family. That's why I believe this. Instead, he had direct contact with the God of Israel. You know, some people need that. You know how many people need that? Yeah, some people. Some people, if you're alive, you need that. This is what the Bible is trying to present to us. It's a normative picture of how God wants to work. Now, this does not mean you have to go out into the desert of Israel, find a rock, go to sleep and say, God, reveal yourself to me. I'm lying here on the land. It won't hurt, and it may help, but you can't force God to do that. Jacob wasn't even looking for God. Jacob didn't even think God could be there. God found him. It's a good thing. Some of us need to be found. I sure did. You know, the last spiritual thing I wanted to find was Yeshua. I was more open to anything but Yeshua. I don't know how many of you were like this. I grew up in a good Jewish family where Yeshua was the only thing that wasn't acceptable. We didn't even think about Muslims and stuff like that. But you could dabble in Buddhism. You could dabble in anything that had East associated with it. Eastern religion, Far East. You could dabble in any kind of spiritual thing as long as it had nothing to do with Yeshua. That's the kind of family I grew up in. And so I knew that we could eat shrimp. We could eat bacon in my family. We could eat lobster. But the only thing that wasn't kosher was Yeshua. This was the one spiritual food we couldn't eat. I knew this. And many Jewish people grow up feeling the same thing. But times change. And people change. God doesn't change. But our experience with God changes. So Jacob's lying on the ground, and the Lord says, you know, in just such a matter-of-fact way, this land is your land, and it belongs to you. And he confirms the promise that God had given to Abraham. And this is interesting. Israel has a place on earth, and Israel has a place in heaven simultaneously. Israel has a blessed place on the earth. That's why there's a certain brand of theology that's very popular that thinks that all Christians are going to be lifted up. The earth will be given to the Jews so we can all be troubled and destroyed, most of us. And you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I'm not going to put all the names on it, but I just don't like it. And the reason I don't like it is because I don't think it's true. Because I think that the Lord knew exactly what he was talking about when he said, I have good news for Israel. And so everybody who thinks that the best that God is going to do for Israel is another Holocaust or worse than the Holocaust, they got it wrong. This is not God's ultimate plan. It doesn't mean we won't have troubles. I don't mean that. All Jewish people know, I mean, we enjoy troubles sometimes, but we don't enjoy things like the Holocaust. And I don't think that it's in God's desire for us to experience another Holocaust. I don't think it's his will for us to experience another Holocaust. And I think one of the reasons we experience the Holocaust in Western Europe is because the nation sat idly by and tolerated evil. And those who were called to stand up with us at the risk of their own lives and well-being didn't do so. And I think as well that that we, the Jewish people, found ourselves out from under some of God's greatest protection because we were wandering spiritually and we were wandering in many ways. But I don't think the Holocaust was God's judgment against the Jewish people. I think it was a judgment on the earth. It was a judgment against the earth. It was a judgment that said when innocents are being slaughtered, no one rises up to defend them. Now, of course, some did, but not enough. Not enough risked their lives. I hope things change. I hope that people take Netanyahu seriously if they're watching him on TV recently and see, hurrah, Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't always think he's a good leader, but he says a lot of things that are absolutely right. And he's warning the world about Iran's nuclear seriousness. And we ought to take that ourselves seriously. We ought to believe that Iran is like Nazi Germany in this sense, set on doing evil to the Jewish people. And you can see how the nations just say, oh man, it's too outrageous. We couldn't believe it's true. I think we have to take it more seriously than that. Well, the scripture tells us that the Lord says, I'm with you. You're not going to go alone. You won't be alone. I'll keep you. I'll protect you. I'll watch over you. Everywhere you go, in every circumstance, every challenge, I'm going to be with you. And I'll bring you back. You may be gone for a long time, but God says he's watching over the times and the seasons. And you don't have to worry, Jacob, about how long it takes to get back. And think how long it did take. 7 years to pay for Leah. Another 7 years to pay for Rachel. And then 6 more years to pay for the livestock. That's a 20-year mortgage. But then he was free and clear. He paid it off. And he was gone 20 years and he came back. And it was true that the Lord took him out and brought him back in. And Jacob woke up and he said, the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. And he was filled with fear. And he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And so he makes a promise to wholeheartedly serve and to trust God. And this experience defines for Jacob what it will mean for him to go with God. A dream. Do you hear what I'm saying? A dream changed Jacob's life. It set the course of Jewish life in a certain direction. Don't dismiss dreams. Don't assign spiritual meaning to every dream. But don't assign no spiritual meaning to every dream. Some dreams have spiritual meaning. And Jacob knew that he could trust the Lord. Now, I want to focus on this thing. God was in this place and I didn't know it. And I want to ask Brian Stone to come up here for just a minute. Because we were having breakfast this morning and he told me about an experience he had where he saw the Lord working in a certain way at a meeting he was having in Orlando. Is that where it was? Orlando. I'm going to hand the microphone to you.
Okay.
Can you describe the experience you were telling me about this morning?
About 2 weeks ago, we had a young man come into our office, and this young man was really an orphan, and he had just turned 18, and because he turned 18, he had to leave the home he was at because he aged out of foster care. And he had no family support, and he did have a plan, and his plan was he was going to get his GED, and then he was going to go in the Navy because he knew if he went in the Navy, his needs would be taken care of and he'd have a job. But unfortunately, when he went to take his GED, he fell 10 points short of passing just the math portion. He passed everything else except that. And so he came into the office, and it bubbled up to me, and they said, can we help him? And I said, of course we can help him. And
Brian is a vice president at WorkSource, so it had to bubble up a ways.
And so what I put him under the care of Sharon Miller. She's a wonderful caseworker on our staff. She's a grandmother, and she really has a wonderful way of working with these young people. And so she immediately got him work so he could access funds that the Department of Children and Families had so that he could have a place to live, have things to eat. And she also worked with the community college where he's trying to get his GED, and she worked with the Navy, with his recruiter, to just make sure everything was going to be smooth. And I thought that was the end of the story. But this week I went to our board meeting in Orlando, and the board is Workforce Florida, and the board is comprised of people who the governor appoints, and it's the leaders of the Department of Children and Families, it's the leader of Juvenile Justice, it's the leaders of Workforce Florida, businesses, all of the agency leaderships are on this board. And when I got there, what they were discussing was a new rule that they were going to impose statewide. You know, and they're very good people, and they have right motivations, but sometimes when we try to act the right way without all the information, we don't know the impact that our actions are going to have. And so one of the rules they were going to make was, even though youth may be economically disadvantaged and have other barriers, in addition to all of that, they also had to have learning issues, meaning that they were below grade level in their academic pursuits. And so when we broke out into the subcommittee and they start talking about this rule, they asked for comment, and I said, you know, you're gonna do something that you think is right, but let me tell you the impact that your actions are gonna have. And what I was able to explain to them, because of what had just happened here, was that they were gonna shut the door on literally thousands of orphans across the state of Florida and shut them out to services that were really vital to them so that they could make it in life. And after it all transpired, they backed away, and they're not going to do that, and that's a wonderful thing. But I stepped back, and I said, what an awesome God I serve. Because what I saw was the hand of God. I saw that 2 weeks ago, he wrote the end from the beginning. And he let that happen in my life. I believe, I know, because he knew I was going to be at that meeting. And he knew that I could say to them in a very practical way, this is what's going to happen if you take this step. And I just stood amazed.
It was amazing. You can keep the microphone for just a minute. It was amazing because it showed how God knows how to watch over real people's lives. You see, sometimes you want to put a policy in place or a ministry you want to get done, and you come up with your ways of how it should be done. You've got your thoughts about it. But then there's a reality that may be very different from your perceptions. And God gave to Brian experience of a reality. So he wasn't arguing theoretically or philosophically or even according to a principle. He was saying, here's a real orphan and what it would mean to him. And it was a compelling argument. And it shifted everybody back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know what I liked about it? It showed that God knows how to take care of orphans. Do you see? When the scripture says that God is a father to the fatherless and that he loves orphans, he's not just talking about congregational ministries. He's not just talking about orphanages. He's actually talking about the people who are orphans and that he loves them and cares for them and he will move on their behalf. And he will orchestrate things on their behalf, right? And you have to know that God's in a place. Now, imagine this. Imagine that Brian doesn't have this same thinking about God, and Brian instead thinks God only is interested in religious activities. Like some of you. God's only interested in our Shabbat service. Because that's all you do, is come to Shabbat. And that's where you think God always works. But God is the God of heaven and earth. He's the God of Jacob's ladder. He's the God who's up there and down here. He's the God who knows how to put things together. And he's looking for people who are anywhere who want to do his will. And he'll give you experiences that can be used on God's behalf to further God's purposes, to accomplish God's will. If you want to get the best in life and the most in life, remember this, God is everywhere. Amen. And he wants to work everywhere. And you had such an experience of God, it encouraged me so much. I wanted Brian to share this tonight. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Whatever your work is, wherever you're serving the Lord, wherever you're going to school, wherever you're living, your neighborhood, wherever you're exercising, whatever the things are that you're doing, those are places that God is interested in moving through you. And you don't need anything formal in order to have opportunity. You don't need to be appointed to anything in order to be used by God. You just need to be available to him. And you, I think, and I may be unaware of God sometimes. We may believe he exists theoretically. We may be able to describe all sorts of theological truths about God. But unless God is going with us wherever we go, unless we've established a God zone, could we call it that? A God zone all around us so that wherever we are, God is with us. And we're always making sure that he's welcome in the area around us, that we're not pushing him away or closing our ears or closing our eyes, but we're saying, God, this place, this heart, this life, this circle of influence belongs to you. When we take that position with God, you know what? Then we're sons and daughters of Jacob. Then we're sons and daughters of Israel. If you confine your belief to God's interests as the buildings, the holy places, the sanctuaries, the religious services. You know what? You're serving a God who's not the God revealed in the Scriptures. God is interested in everything. He's interested in every part of your life. He is wanting to get a hold of you and use you if you'll only be used. And you may find that your first attempts or some of your attempts don't produce good results. I was at the gym the other day running. And there were two Jewish people next to me running. And, you know, so we got three Jews running. Running from nobody, you know. We're on running machines. And so we're running. And one of the guys is a doctor. And I think he, I don't know for sure. So I won't tell you all the details. Well, he surely was a doctor. And the guy, the trainer at the gym told him I was a rabbi. Now, as far as I can tell, this guy is not going to any synagogue, but he said to me, so what's your congregation? I said, Beth Israel. And he said, oh, is that the one at the beaches? So I said, no, it's at Bay Meadows. And he said, where? I said, well, between Phillips and 95. He said, I'm not familiar with that. Is that conservative? Now, anybody who's been living in Jacksonville for a long time knows this is not where the conservative synagogue is. Right? So I knew he's not going to synagogue. I said, no, we're not conservative. We're messianic. And he said, oh. And he decided to see if he could run faster to get away, but we're on a treadmill, so you can't go anywhere. Now, next to me is a woman from Ukraine outside of Kyiv, Bella Tserkov. And she's telling me she came to the U.S. 28 years ago. And so we have a conversation that goes a full 30 minutes, which for me is a long time running. I normally don't talk when I'm running. But what could I do? And so we had an interesting conversation about life in America for Jewish people and so forth. And I just said, Lord, you know, one guy didn't like my answer. The next woman thought it was okay. You know, it doesn't hurt me. It's not troubling to me. And anyway, we still have to run. And so we just kept on running. And I just said to the Lord, thank you for bringing me into contact with different people at the gym. I wasn't looking to connect. It's just the things that God is doing. And many times God will use you. I mean, I can't say God used me there. He used my feet to run. But I can say that when we have a desire to serve Jewish people, God will give you an opportunity to serve. When you have a desire to serve God, He'll give you an opportunity to serve Him. And all you have to do is open up every part of your life and say, Lord, welcome. You're welcome everywhere. You're welcome in the morning. You're welcome when I can't sleep at night. This is a solution for some of you who wake up like I do in the middle of the night. Wide awake. What do you do? It's a good time to read, because that'll put a lot of us to sleep. It's a good time to pray. It's a good time to keep going and to spend with God rather than to struggle. Any time you make available to God, He'll use. Any frustrating part of your life that you've got right now, He would like to get a hold of and to use. So, I encourage you, open up all your places. Open up every part of your life and invite the Lord in. If you want to do that, you know what? You'll be like Jacob, because you'll say, I didn't even know God was here, but He was here. And you'll be like Brian, who said, God, You give to me the experiences I need to do the ministry that You've called me to do so that I can be useful for serving orphans, because it's in Brian's heart to serve orphans for the Lord. He doesn't need an orphanage to do it. He needs to do it through his positions that God has given him. Well, I just want to close by praying for everybody who wants to be used. If you want to be used by saying, God, every part of my life I want to open up to You. If that's your desire, just start praying with me. You can stand up if you like to do that. If you don't like to do that, stay seated. But I want to pray with you and for you. Just something very simple. Lord, we want to be true sons and daughters of Israel. And we want to see You everywhere that you've put us. And so we want to invite you into all the areas of our lives, especially the areas that seem most frustrating, that seem most difficult, and that are not yet bearing good fruit. And we're saying, Lord, would you come to our place where we're lying on the ground with pillows of stone? And would you come to us? And would you establish your covenant, your authority, and your interest in us and through us? And if you will do this, Lord, then you'll be my God. And I'll worship you with everything that you give me. And I will make my life count for you. If that's your prayer, if that's the real position that you're taking, God will reach in into parts you didn't think he could. He'll fix some things that you thought couldn't be fixed. He'll renew some things that you thought were long gone and impossible to restore. And he'll make you new. And he'll make those parts of your life new. This ladder of Jacob may be hard to understand. Yeshua explained a little bit about it. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, Yeshua is talking to a good Jewish man, Nathanael. And he said to him, you're a man without guile, and you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And we came to understand something through this, that ladder is not just a ladder, it's the person of God. It's the Son of God, the Son of Man. And that the relationship we have with Yeshua, the one who can be standing next to us, at the same time, God our Father in heaven is there too. That this Yeshua is the one who's bringing Jacob into contact with God, the one who's making promises to all of Israel and all the generations of Israel. This Yeshua, our God, Adonai, is the one who we love and serve. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness, O ladder of Jacob. We bless you. Amen. We want to pray for Sharon. I'm looking right here. Sharon, can you come up? Did your dad step out?
He left.
He left. Okay, well, he won't pray. Okay. Joel, husband Joel, come up here. Everybody that's involved in the worship ministry, can you come up here quickly and just stand with us? Lord, we pray for Sharon as she goes off to record. Lord, you're the one who calls, and you're the one who prepares, and you're also the one who gives abilities. And you know the end from the beginning. You know, Lord, how to put special anointing on this young woman, for the ministry that you've called her to, for the serving that you've called for her to do. And I pray in the name of Yeshua that what she sets her heart to do, she would be able to do, and that she would be able to do even beyond that. I pray that even the process of being in a recording studio would become comfortable for her, and that she would hear in the spirit, with her spiritual ears, some of the melody, some of the harmony, some of the vocalizations that you want her to sing, and she would be able to do it according to that pattern. And I pray, Lord, for Joel, her husband, that he would be an encourager, and that he would be a priest for her, and that he would be a source of strength and encouragement for Sharon, and that he would also be a source of wisdom for her and a strong support and an expression of the Father's love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Use this couple, Lord, for your best purposes. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. 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 You're welcome. Thank you, guys. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Gather together with friends or with family. Or friends and family. Don't let anybody stand by themselves. Irv, you're by yourself. Somebody. Irv, take a step up, would you? A step up or a step over? Okay, I'm looking. Let's fight over Irving. There we go. Okay, nobody by themselves, right? Me? That's right. Don, come up here. Don't leave me by. Can you? You're by yourself. I'm by myself. My wife is sick in bed right now. She's got, contagious ick. That's why she would come, even though she's sick. She just doesn't want you to get anything. Let's pray for her.
So is Janelle.
Janelle, too. Okay. So it's not that we're bachelors. Lord, we lift up our wives to you, and we ask you, God, to bring healing to them, to give strength to their body, strength to their bones, and strength to their hearts and to their spirits and to their minds in the name of Yeshua. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navei lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Sar shalom. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom. Come join us for an oneg and to pick up some CDs. Actually, you have to pay for the